I am really looking forward to all that is ahead with baptism here in a couple of weekends, brand new series on handling our finances God's way, kind of getting stress out of finances and getting God's peace in. Those are both on November 10th. Next Sunday, of course, you heard in the video, will be Echo Steps. If you're new here to Echo, looking to connect, looking to learn more about your journey with Jesus, listen, that Echo Steps is for you. You can sign up for that today at the guest services kiosk. We'd love to help you take that next step. Today is going to be the finale of 1 Minute After You Die, the series we've been walking through for the past few weeks now, and I'm really looking forward to today. Raise your hand if you were here with us last week. You were here last Sunday. Come on, where you at? Where you at? All right. Those of you that were here, you know what I'm about to say. Like, you've been to hell, and now you're back. Like, well done. I'm so glad that you guys are here. That really sounded funnier in my head. It didn't go well at the Dream Team service. You guys were kind of like, was that funny? It's okay. It's okay to laugh, even if it wasn't funny. It's okay to laugh. We're going to be journeying towards heaven today. So how many of you are excited about walking towards heaven today? Come on. A little bit better than last Sunday, but we need to know the fullness of what God teaches us. We're talking about this series, 1 Minute After You Die. What happens? What happens when you breathe your last breath? What happens when your heart beats for the last time? You're no longer here on earth. Week one, we talked about these judgments that come our way. And week two, we talked about, of course, the horrors of being separated from God eternally. What is hell all about? Was it a real place? Who goes there? And today, we're talking about heaven. If you missed any of these, I want to highly encourage you. You can go to our website. You've got a YouTube channel. You've got a podcast. Wherever you get our information, catch up on these, because it's really one whole message divided up into three parts. I'd highly encourage you to do that. Some of you might wonder, why in the world are we talking about this? I mean, I really just want to enjoy my life here now. I don't want to think about what's coming. It scares me to think about that. Why are we doing this? Well, we've had one really key point for this whole series. If you've got your message notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. If you don't, I'd highly encourage you to grab them out, and you can follow along. I think it'll help you even as you come back around to it later. Most of us just want to live for now. Why would we talk about this? Well, it's really, really important. I write this down. What you believe about eternity shapes how you live today. What you believe about eternity shapes how you live today. If you think you're just an accident, right? Like you're just kind of here on accident, by accident. There's really no purpose to life. Why not get all that you can now? Like, why not live for today? If this is all you've got, why not live for it? Get as much as you can for yourself. However, if conversely you believe that you were made by God on purpose, for a purpose, for His glory, it's going to change the way you live. You're going to live for His glory. You're going to see Him someday, and you want to make sure you have a good account for the life that He gave you. It changes how you live today. What you believe about eternity shapes how you live here and now. I want to encourage you. Would you all stand with me? We did this in week one. I want to come back around to as we close out the series. I'm acutely aware that when we come into a series like this, and a day like today especially, when I'm going to be giving a message on heaven, that I'm going to fall short. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to try to articulate to you what heaven is going to be like. And if at the end of today's message you're like, Chad, you could have done a better job, you could have articulated better, you could have shared more, I'm not going to disagree with you, okay? Because I think it's just, I don't think I can win today, but I'm going to try my best. I'm going to allow Scripture to do the work and everything that we're going to set our hearts out to do. I'm going to let Scripture do the talking and just try to point you to the Scriptures that share so much about all that's coming. Paul would agree with you if you think I could have done a better job today. Paul says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Your highest vision, your highest understanding of what heaven could be, what it might be like, Paul says, you're not even getting close. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine, can conceive. I'm praying that today, maybe some of you have been walking through a heavy time, walking through a heavy season, that today that this is comforting for you. Maybe you've had fears about what eternity will be like. I pray that it would relieve some of those fears and give you faith and hope in the midst of what could be a difficult season for you. In the Gospel of John, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus talking to His disciples, but you need to know He's talking directly to you today. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? For you. You need to know right now, Jesus is in heaven and he's preparing a place. What's he doing with his time? He's getting ready. He's preparing the place, getting it clean for you. He's preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. If you know anything about this disciple named Thomas, Thomas is constantly not getting it right. He couldn't catch up to where Jesus was. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. We're going to be talking about heaven today. You want to be in heaven. You want to be with the Father. Jesus is telling us right now, if that's where you want to be forever, then I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one gets there without walking through me, because God gives me as a sacrifice. That's what Jesus is trying to teach them. Later, while John, the one who was writing the words of Jesus here, when he's later exiled to the island of Patmos, he gets this vision from God of what heaven is going to be like. And he says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared. Now there was no sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared like a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. It said, now God's home is with people. How amazing will that be? There'll be no separation between us and God. God's home will be with us. Our home will be with him. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Maybe you've shed some tears lately. Maybe at some point in your past, there's been these seasons of heartache and heartbreak, and someday that will be no more. There will be no more death, no more sadness, crying or pain. All the old ways are gone. Perhaps one of the things we need to try to wrap our brains around today is that when we're there, so much of what we know now will be gone. All the death and sorrow and hardship that we think about today, those things will be gone. The one who is sitting on the throne said, look, I make everything new. I want you to say that quotation part with me. Would you say it with me? Here we go. Look, I am making everything new. Let's do it one more time. Let's, as loud as you can. Look, I am making everything new. New. When we're there, it's going to be new. All those who win the victory will receive all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. How do we receive it? We receive it through Jesus. Can we pray as we begin? Father, we thank you that you are so kind to us. Lord, giving us Jesus would be more than enough, and yet you give us glimpses of what is to come for those who are in Jesus. Lord, we pray today that you loosen our grip on the world. Lord, help us to anticipate the glory that is to come. Lord, would you help us to live in such a way that it would impact all eternity, that what we do here would matter someday ahead. It's your son's name that we pray. And everybody said together, amen. Before you sit down, I need you, we're going to get the high fives going, okay? We're going to keep them rolling. You need to high five three people and tell them, I plan on seeing you in heaven. All right? Three people, I plan on seeing you in heaven. Come on. It's okay. It's all right. We're family. We're friends. I plan on seeing you in heaven. I plan on seeing you in heaven. All right. Have a seat. In order to help us understand what heaven is and what it's going to be like, I need to help us understand what heaven is not. Are you with me? Sometimes that's a better way to get there. To understand what heaven's going to be like, I want to help us understand what heaven is not. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what heaven is and what our time is going to be like there. I think a lot of people think we're just going to be naked, fat baby angels, right? Floating around on clouds with harps. Like we've got so much to look forward to. No. That's not what it's going to be like. I want to give you today three misconceptions about heaven. Three misconceptions about heaven. The first one is this. Heaven will be boring. That's a misconception. I think it's probably a very popular one. We think that heaven is going to be a boring place. Why do we think that heaven is going to be a boring place? Why is that such a prevalent thought today? And I think one of the key reasons why, we talked about this a lot last week, is that the devil is a liar. It's true. The Bible says that about the devil, that he is a thief. His only desire, his only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. In fact, last week I had a lot of people praying for me leading up to Sunday. I said, hey, I, I think the fact that I'm going to be speaking on hell, the enemy would love nothing more than to sort of derail that this week. Would you pray for me? And I should have remembered to have those same folks praying for me this week, because I've faced a lot of just personal attack this week. Because we're talking about heaven. I think the devil wants to convince us that heaven is going to be a boring place. That you don't want to live for there. You don't want to be there. It's not really all that big of a deal. In fact, you should just get yours now. Right now, today is so much better than what's going to be there. Why? Why would the devil, Satan, his angel name was Lucifer, why would he care so much about just distracting and lying to us about heaven? Some of you might know this if you go and look in the scriptures. Lucifer, of course, is a name for the devil, and he was a fallen angel. So he had a high status as an archangel in heaven alongside Michael and Gabriel. He had high status in heaven, but he was jealous of God. In fact, five times in the book of Isaiah, we learn that Lucifer says, "I will be like God." Well, there is no one like God. He had high status in heaven. Part of his job was to worship God. He decided no longer that he wanted to worship God. He wanted to be worshipped, and so God cast him out of heaven. We read in Scripture that a third of the angels actually followed him, and most scholars believe that that's where we get our demonic forces today, those angels that followed him. Well, what's he doing now? What is Lucifer doing now? His goal, his only goal, is to destroy everything that matters to God. Everything that matters to the heart of God, he's trying to destroy all of that. Why would he not go about our conception of what heaven is going to be like? It's going to be boring. Get yours now. It's not really going to be that big of a deal. I mentioned last week that he tried to convince us that hell is not a real place, or most people aren't going there. It's not a big deal. He's also trying to convince us that heaven isn't something to be lived for, striven towards. I think for a lot of us, I know for me growing up, I believe that heaven was going to be like this long line. Like, we're going to be walking up to the pearly gates, right? St. Peter's going to be checking off a list. We're going to be in this long line, and he's going to hand us a robe and a harp, and we're going to be just sort of off in a cloud in isolation somewhere, right? I mean, it's a terrible picture of what heaven is going to be like. It's not going to be like that at all. Heaven's not going to be a boring place. I think it's a common belief, not only because of the lies of the enemy, but I think the reason that a lot of people think it's going to be a boring place is they think God is boring. You with me? When they think about God, when they conceive of God, they think God himself is boring. God's a killjoy. Well, we read last week, John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." We don't even begin to conceive of life that Jesus wants us to have till we even just get into his presence. And even now, we're just beginning to get a glimpse, a very small picture of all that God has for us someday. Heaven is not going to be boring. God is not boring. Heaven is going to be the opposite of boredom. It's going to be the absence of all evil and the presence of God. Everything you enjoy here on earth, those are gifts from God in heaven. You follow me? The things that we like here are just foretaste of what it's going to be like there. Your favorite places to go, your favorite foods to eat, the things you like doing, your favorite emotions of joy and love and laughter and beauty, you will have all of those to the max there. And, oh, by the way, there'll be no sin and no sorrow, no frustrations. Let me show you. This is a glimpse of what heaven will be like based on what Scripture says. Now, I don't have time to read all of these scriptures. They're in your notes for reference. I think they're on the screen as well. Let me give you some glimpses of what heaven is going to be like. Here's the first one. We will know one another, love, and be loved. Maybe you've wondered that before. Will I know people in heaven? Yes. You will know one another, love, and be loved. You'll be able to walk up to Peter and be like, "What was it like to walk on water? I got to know. What was that like?" You can go up to David and say, "When you were slinging the stone of Goliath, did you get lucky? Or was it skill? Like, were you been practicing that shot? Like, what was it like?" Ladies, you can go up to Eve and you can say, "Listen, when you ate of that fruit, like part of the curse was that your pain in childbirth. Like, was it worth it, girl? Like, was, you know, like, you..." All of us have been walking through this because of you. You have some words with her. It's fine. You'll know her. You'll be able to have a conversation with her. You will know one another. You'll love and you'll be loved. Those of you that have lost loved ones who are in Christ, maybe a lost child, a spouse, a relative, a friend, you'll be reunited. There'll be no more heartache, no more rejection, no more pain, because in heaven there's only perfect love. You will know one another, love, and be loved. Heaven will also be a place of unimaginable beauty. unimaginable beauty. What did Paul say? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. That tells me there's going to be colors that we're going to see there that we can't even think about here. You're going to see like you've never been able to see before. You're going to hear things you've never been able to hear before. There's going to be new sensations, new beauties. The scripture says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You could travel this earth for years and see all the amazing places, and there's some incredible places that you could go and see. Add all those up, and they'll just be, you could do it for 10 years. You could do it for the rest of your life, and even all of that, you could add it all up, and just for a moment in heaven, all those would just pale in comparison. Someday, it's going to be unimaginable beauty. We can't even begin to conceive all that God has for us. And oh, by the way, when we're there and we're seeing all this beauty, no sin, no death, no pain, right? Well, think of the most beautiful place you've ever been to here on earth. Think about it for a moment. Where you've been on vacations, you've been on trips, just the most beautiful place that you have seen. A few weeks ago, Katie and I were out in San Diego, and we were standing on this spot called Sunset Cliffs, and just in every direction we looked, there were just these rocky cliffs that would just drop into the ocean, just beautiful formations. It was just incredible, and it was at sunset. It was like, if you're going to go see the Sunset Cliffs, you got to do it at sunset, right? And it was incredible. And last year, we were walking out on the beaches out just south of Los Angeles with our kids right around this time, and we were at this place called Crystal Cove, and there were like these sheer rock faces, and we were walking on the beach, and on the other side of the beach were all these just rocky formations, and our kids were running all over them and jumping in the water. It was just beautiful. Those will pale in comparison. I was thinking back to several years ago when we actually lived out in Los Angeles. That's why we go back and visit every now and then. We lived out there for a couple of years. One time we were actually up in San Francisco, and we had Ava, and I think she was 2 years old at the time, and Katie was pregnant with Ella. And we had this great idea. We'd never been on the Pacific Coast Highway. Some of you guys have been. If you have not been, you need to do it. It needs to be your next vacation. It's beautiful. Like, we're going to go from San Francisco down to Los Angeles along the Pacific Coast Highway, and it's all these ups and downs and twists and turns and blind curves, and you'll just see these cliffs and these vistas are just amazing. It was a great idea. The problem is that our 2-year-old gets car sick, and Katie also gets car sick and was very pregnant at the time. And so, like, every 30 seconds, she was like, like, this is not Chad. And we did, like, every 30 minutes, we'd have to pull over and just, like, let's enjoy the scenery. We'll drive for a few more miles. We pull over. Like, it was a long trip. You know what I'm saying? You'll be able to go see the Pacific Coast Highway, and there'll be no more car sickness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be unimaginable beauty. And you take away all the frustrations and the fears and all the stuff that we fight here on earth. It's going to be a place of unimaginable beauty. In heaven, you will see Jesus face to face. And the reason that all of you weren't just amening and shouting in that moment is maybe you've forgotten what the scriptures say. You go back and look at any point in the Bible, and anyone that was close enough to God's presence did not live. To be in the presence of God's glory was overwhelming for a human being. In fact, Moses one time says to God, God, I want to see your glory. And what does God say? You can't handle it. You cannot see my glory. You will die. So I'll let you see me. I'm going to pass by, and after I pass by, you're going to sort of catch the train. You're going to catch the backside of my glory. You can't be in my presence and live. In fact, you go back to the Old Testament. A priest would go into the temple. They'd walk all the way into the depth, into the place called the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was. And when they would do this, they would tie a rope around their leg, because if they got too close to the presence of God, they knew they might die. So I'm not making this up. And the other priests weren't going to go in after the priest that died. They're like, sorry, buddy, you're on your own. So they tied the rope around, so if they needed to pull them out, they could, because they weren't going in after. They didn't want to die. To be in the presence of God was overwhelming for a human. And yet you and I, one day, will look at Jesus face to face, eye to eye. The one who created you, all of what you are and what he wants for you, you'll be able to look him in the eye. The one who went to the cross and took your sin and your shame, you'll be able to look him in the eye. The one who rose up from the dead to give you new life. The reason you'll be in heaven looking around to all the glory, you'll be able to look him face to face and see all the love and all the grace that he has for you. How amazing will that be? You'll be able to see Jesus face to face. Here's the next one. You will have new and perfect bodies. Come on, somebody. Like, that should be an opportunity for some amens right there. new and perfect bodies. All the frustrations you put up with today because of your body, you will have a new and perfect body. Some of you, you think back to Grandpa getting sick and his mind faded. And yet when you meet him again, his mind will be perfectly well and whole. Some of you are working through a receding hairline. You're going to go to heaven and poof. Like it's all going to be there. Like it's going to be a great moment. I'll no longer have to fight with this unibrow. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I've got like this little like notch out of my ear. I don't know why. I'm not so sure. My parents say I was born with it. I think something might have happened while I was born. I don't know. But I'll have my whole ear. My whole ear will be there. New and perfect bodies. You have migraines, they'll be gone. Maybe some of you are colorblind or partially colorblind. You'll be able to see all the colors and then some. You'll have new and perfect bodies. Here's a final one. Heaven is the absence of everything bad, painful, and evil. It's the presence of everything good, holy, and glorious. You will know what it looks like to serve God and enjoy it. You'll be able to serve God and just experience His love. There'll be no more curse on work. It's just all going to be blessing. Did you know that's your original intent? That God designed you to worship Him and serve Him. And so you never get close to the fullness that God has for you until you're worshiping Him and serving Him. The only problem is here, we're in these earthly tents, right? And our bodies are being broken down and we get tired. But there, you'll be able to serve Him and there'll be just great joy. There'll be great victory in everything that you get to be a part of. You love to garden? Come on, some of you. You're just going to garden to your heart's delight. Some of you love singing. You're just going to love singing for God. I'm just praying that I'll be able to sing in like perfect pitch there. Like I'm not even anyway. You'll have all these gifts. You'll have this heart to love and to serve God. It'll be great joy. It'll be glorious. You'll be productive and effective in serving God. Did you know the Bible says that you will rule and reign alongside the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords? You and I will rule and reign next to Him. That's what the Bible says about us. When we are there with Him, we'll be in the presence of all that is good. Can I tell you what won't be there? When you're in heaven, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more fear, no more stress. Come on, somebody. No more depression, no more sleepless nights, no more anxiety, no more abuse, no more divorce, heartache, racism, injustice, or violence. No more bathroom trips at 3 a.m. Come on. No more Mondays. I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to look at my screen here and not look up. There'll be no more time of the month. Come on, that should be an amen across the room from everybody. It's going to be the absence of all evil, the presence of all that's good. Whatever you think, you're just getting started of all that God has. What did Paul say? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. This verse has just been stuck in my soul ever since God put the idea of echo in our hearts. I can remember, some of you have heard me share this before, whenever we were walking through this journey of God telling us that He was going to use our lives to start a new church back home in Indiana. At the time, we were living down in Jackson, Mississippi, at an amazing church where I got to lead a team of about 40 people, and we would have about 6,000 people a Sunday, which meant we had this amazing facility to do that. And we had finally decided, like, we're going back home. We're going to start this church. We're going to start from scratch, and we're just trusting God. And it was just a prayer and a dream at the time. And I remember we had our final conversation with our staff, that, like, this is happening. Like, I'm going there. We're going to figure out somebody to come in and lead this the campus that I was leading. And I was walking in our lobby of this really just beautiful, glorious building. And I started having, it was my one and only sort of freak out moment of like, what have I done? like, I'm leaving behind too much. I don't know what's coming. Like, how can I do this? And I just stood there and I started praying and God just whispered. It wasn't audible, but it was almost there. He just whispered this verse in my heart. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what I have prepared for those who love me. Chad, you think you're giving up so much, it's nothing compared to what you're going to get someday. You need to hear that in your heart today. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for you, for those for those that love him. Heaven's not going to be a boring place. It's going to be quite the opposite. The second misconception is this, that the world is your home. That the world, all that you see, all that you want, right here and now, we often think that this is our home, that what we can see right now is all that matters. One day, Paul was talking to his followers, and he was talking about, or not his followers, Christ's followers, he was talking about those that don't know Jesus, and he says this, their mind is set on earthly things, right? What they have now, what they have, what they look like, how they dress, where they live, what's in their bank accounts, people's opinions of them. Their mind is set on earthly things. What does he say? But our citizenship is in heaven. This place isn't our home. You can go visit a foreign country, but many of you here in the room, like, America is your home. This is where your citizenship is, right? You're just visiting there. That's what Paul says about our spiritual state. You might be here on earth, but if you're a follower of Jesus, this is not home for you. Your citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This and all that we see is not, this is not our home. I want to show you this for just a moment. I think this might help us understand to some degree why life on earth matters. If you can conceive with me for just a moment, there's this orange piece here in the middle of this rope, and here's what this is going to signify. From the orange piece, this direction, that's just eternity past. All of history is that direction, and the rope never ends. It just keeps on going. And on this side of the orange, this direction is eternity future. Everything that God has planned for us. We said this in week one. You will go on living somewhere, right? Every one of us, our souls depart from our bodies, we will go on living somewhere someday. And I want this orange piece here to kind of represent life here on earth. This is human history. Can you get a glimpse of it? All of this that's going back here, it just goes on forever, and all this up ahead, it just goes on forever. But this little bit right here, this is human history. You go back to the very beginning, and this is Adam and Eve, just right here at the very beginning. Maybe we'd skip ahead, and Jesus would be somewhere right here in the middle. You go fast forward maybe to the Renaissance, and go even more forward to like World War I and World War II and man walking on the moon, all kinds of different things. And then you're in here somewhere. You can't see it. It's just this little bitty spot right here. The Bible says that our lives are just a mist. We're just a vapor. We're only here for a short time. That we need to make the best of our times because it's slipping away from us. Can I talk to you for just a moment? This is what I'm trying to work on. So much of my life focuses on right here, right now. Like, this is all that matters. I get so stressed out. I get so worked up on things that are just right here. But here's what I'm trying to work on. If what I'm doing here is not going to matter in, like, let's say, 100 years, let me just move over a little bit, it's not going to matter here. You following me? And if what I'm doing here doesn't matter here, why in the world would I spend my time? I want to make sure that what I'm doing here is going to last here. Are you following me? Because if what I'm doing here is not going to last, that I'm just wasting my time. The Bible says that we can actually be doing things with our lives that will last, that will go on. The way we love one another will last. The words that we use, life-giving words, they will last forever. What I did with my time will last forever. What I do with my resources will last forever. Listen, if it's just going to be here and then pass away, why would I spend my time on it? And why would I get so bent out of shape about it? Come on. Why would I get so stressed out? I'm probably going to forget about it next week. Come on, somebody. Anybody else ever just been, you're praying to God like, Lord, I need this, I want this, this is going on, and then next week you've forgotten about it. You ever had like a prayer journal and you go back a year and you're like, I didn't even realize I was praying about that. I mean, we'll get so bent out of shape about our finances and our job and all that's going on. It's not going to last in 100 years. It's not going to last for eternity. Are you with me? But what if I started making sure that my time and my talents and my treasures were going to add up to life change forever? That's what I want to be spending my time on, because this is not my home. That's my home. Are you following me? This is just short. It's just passing. It's temporary. In fact, Paul says it. Paul says it like this. He says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now, right? Just the little bit. We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on those things that cannot be seen. Everything that's coming someday, we focus our gaze there because that's what's actually going to matter. For the things we see now will soon be gone. They're just a mist. They're just a vapor. They're passing away. But the things we cannot see, those things that are coming, this is what lasts forever. And Paul's telling us there's a way you can live your life that the things you do now will matter for eternity. The world is not our home. That's why it's so important that what you believe about eternity, you recognize because it's going to shape the way that you live today. Heaven's not going to be boring. No, it's going to be the absence of evil, the presence of God. This world is not our home. It's passing. We say, God, would you help me to live today for what will last? Maybe just pray that prayer in your heart right now. God, would you help me to live today for what is going to last? Here's the third and final misconception. It's simply this. We think that most people are going to heaven anyway. Most people are going to heaven anyway. Why are we talking about this? Why are we spending our time on this? Because most people are going to heaven anyway. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I believe. Most people are going there anyway. We'd say, I'm good, and good people go to heaven. The translation of that is, I haven't really done anything bad, right? Come on. Let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. I haven't really done anything bad. And what we mean is, I haven't murdered anyone. I'm not a drug dealer. I haven't abused anybody. I haven't done anything really bad worthy of going somewhere else. Heaven is the default. Not really bad, and if you're not really bad, heaven is where you go. But we need to remember what Jesus said. We read this last week. We need to take note of this. Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to life, and only a few people find it. And so we need to make sure that we're spending our time on finding it. There's this huge misconception. If you hear one thing today, I hope you hear this. There's this huge misconception, and it's this, that good people go to heaven. Can I just tell you this morning, that's not true. Good people don't go to heaven. And you're like, well, if good people don't go to heaven, who goes to heaven? Good people don't go to heaven. Who goes there? Forgiven people. People that have allowed Jesus to pay for their sins. That's what he went to the cross for. That's what Jesus died for, is to pay the penalty, to pay the price for your sins, to be the sacrifice so that you could be forgiven. How do you do that? You simply believe. You believe that he died on the cross for you, that he rose up from the dead to give you new life. Heaven's not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people. And that can be for any single one of us. That's why Jesus came. I want to read just a couple more verses as we close down. I asked you to do this in week one. I'm going to ask you to do it again. That you would just allow the power of God's word to speak into your heart today, to stir you, to shake you, perhaps create some urgency in you. If you've been around the church for a while, just ask God to let you hear these afresh as though you're hearing them for the first time. If you're new to church or new to the Bible, this, you're perfect. You'll be able to hear this in freshness. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, for everyone has sinned. Everyone. Does that include me? You can say it out loud. Yes. Does that include you? Yes. This is what the Bible says. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, come on, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. How did he do this? How did he make us right in his sight? He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Your sins were supposed to have a penalty. My sins were supposed to have a penalty. But Jesus went to the cross. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. You want to be made right with God? That's how you do it. You believe that Jesus paid the penalty for you. He paid the penalty for you. Let me give you a little insight into what I was hoping to do during this series. Over these 3 weeks, I had two goals. The first goal was simply this. I wanted to relieve some fears. I think a lot of us have fears about what heaven's going to be like, of what eternity is going to be. And I wanted to relieve some fears. And you can be relieved of your fears. If you know Jesus, there is no fear. There's no death. You don't have to be afraid because God has so much good for you. I wanted to relieve some fears. The second thing I wanted to do is I wanted to create some urgency in us. I shared this in week one, that as I was studying, I was just so hopeful about all that is to come, but it reminded me of how much of my time here on earth isn't lived for eternity. And I wanted to stir us and create some urgency in us of today matters. It's so short. I'm not here very long, and so I want to use this time I have here on earth to the best of my ability. And I wanted to share a verse that I think talks about both of these goals. It speaks to the fact that so long as we have breath, so long as we have life, what we do here matters. It says this, talks about both of these goals. This is Paul talking. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory?" Paul is looking at the devil when he says this. Like, "Where, O death, you came to kill, steal, and destroy. Where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus." You don't have to be afraid. If you believe, if you've received the grace of Jesus, there is no fear, because this life is passing and what's coming is going to be so much better. You don't have to be afraid. No fear is necessary. And then he creates some urgency in us. Paul says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord." I looked up the Greek for the word always. You know what always means? Always. It's really deep. Paul's like, he said, not when you feel like it. Not when things are going well. Not when it's easy. Not when all the calendar lines up. No. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord. Why? Because what you do now matters. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord, Paul says, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything you do today for Jesus will last forever. Every act of love you do today will last forever. Every time you give on behalf of Jesus, it will last forever. Everything we do here, with Jesus in mind, it will last forever. Paul's saying, start living today as though you want every moment, every breath, every gift that God has given you, as though it will last forever. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you are so kind to us, that even in this moment, some of us might be feeling some conviction, Lord, you still meet us with grace. You still meet us with love. You still meet us with your kindness. And yet you remind us that time is short. We want to use the time we have to the best of our ability. Maybe you're here today, and as we're praying, you would say you are a follower of Jesus, and yet you know you want more urgency. You want to live today for what's going to matter later. You want to live today for what will last forever into eternity. You're here today. You want more urgency in your life. You're a follower of Jesus. Would you just raise your hand up high? And say, yes, I want more urgency. I want to make sure I'm living for what matters. Just raise them up high. Anybody else before we pray? That's you. Just for a moment, would you keep your hand up? This is just a declaration to God. You don't have to pray out loud, but in your own heart, would you pray something like this? Lord, create urgency in me. Lord, remind me that that tomorrow is not promised and the years are not promised. Every day that I get is a gift. It's an opportunity to live for you, to serve the work of the Lord. Would you just tell him that? Say, Lord, I pray that the days that you give me, Lord, I'll make them count. I'll make them matter. Lord, everything you give me, Lord, my time, my talent, my treasures, Lord, I want to turn them back to you that they'll last forever. Put your hands down. As we continue to pray, I want to give another group of people an opportunity to respond. Maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, but you want to be. I read just a moment ago that the way you receive the grace of Jesus is you believe. You say, Lord, I need your grace accounted to my life. You you believe. Maybe you've walked in today with a weight and a fear about eternity, of what would happen to you if your life were to end. Maybe you thought things like, have I been good enough? Have I done enough? And I just need to encourage you today, you can never be good enough. But the good news is you don't have to be, because Jesus was good enough. And he took your penalty. And he took your shame. He died for us and it covers our sins. He rose from the dead. He was raised to life, and it gives you new life. It gives you forgiveness, new purpose, new hope. And maybe today's your day. As we're praying, you need to get right with God. How do you get right with God? You believe. And I want you to be able to walk out of here today with no more fear, no more wondering, forever knowing that you've surrendered your life to Jesus. The Bible says that anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can know what's coming. There's no fear of the future. I'm just going to invite you in just a moment. I'm going to count to three. If today's your day to begin believing with all eyes closed, count three. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. Would you just decide right now, is today your day? Today's my day. Would you say it in your heart right now, today's my day to receive the grace and the love of Jesus. Today's my day to walk out of here with no fear of what's coming. Today's my day to receive the grace of Jesus. On the count of three, if that's you, just raise it up and I'd love to pray for you. One, two, three. If that's you, just shoot your hand up for just a moment. I'd love to have the privilege of praying for you. It's wonderful. Anybody else? If that's you, would you just pray this simple prayer in your heart? Just say, Lord, thank you for your grace and your love. Lord, thank you that you love me enough that you sent Jesus to die for me. Lord, thank you for your grace. Would you say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me, for my past. And Lord, I believe that when you died on the cross, you paid for my past, that I am now forever forgiven and free. You say, Lord, I believe that you rose up from the dead, you gave me new life, that from this moment forward, I can live a new life, forgiven and whole, made new in Jesus. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, for all these prayers that have been lifted up, for all these declarations and decisions that have been made. Lord, we know that for as long as we have breath, you're not finished with us. God, help us to give you our all every single day, Lord. We want to serve the work of the Lord, that what we do today matters forever. It's your son's name we pray.